How are we doing today, WordServe? There we go. So yes, my name is Samuel Yelverton, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm a senior at Full Shear High School. And today I want to share with you guys my testimony, and I call it Roots and Wings. I've literally grown up in WordServe from age 3 to age 18. There on the left is my first workday here at WordServe, and there on the right is my most recent. And it's been absolutely amazing. I've loved every minute of it. And I want to take this opportunity first to thank every person who's ever prayed for me, ever taught me in WordServe Kids or Next Gen Youth, every person who has mentored me at Serve Days, and for the worship team for growing me as a musician, a leader, and a disciple. I am who I am today because of the influence of all of these things. But today I want to share with you a personal testimony about how my faith became my own and how my identity in Christ at a time where I was struggling to fit in with the world around me. In other words, I want to share how I found the truth of who I am in Christ and how Christ met me where I was and transformed me into a new creation. Before I get there, though, I want to give you guys some context. It's been an amazing ride growing up in church in Full Shear, but though church was always a part of my life, I didn't always know God. I knew of him, and I knew about him, and I knew all the Bible stories from Moses to David and Goliath to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but I had no real relationship with Jesus. I only knew about him. I was Christian, but I didn't really have my own faith. I felt like my faith was of my parents, that the reason I was Christian was because of my parents and because they raised me to be Christian, but it wasn't necessarily my choice. In fact, most Sundays they dragged me to church. And this didn't really seem to bother me growing up. I had a wonderful childhood, and I have great memories and had a great life growing up. But it really started to matter in about fourth grade. And this is when banter began amongst my friends. And it was perfectly innocent at first. We were all just having fun. But banter led to picking on, and picking on led to bullying and singling out. And I just happened to be the smallest one of my friends. So I was singled out because of that and because I was Christian. And all my friends started rebelling and cussing and causing trouble. I'm sure we've all been there. But I wanted to be good. I wanted to be Christian. And at this time in my life, my identity and how I saw myself started to solidify, but not in a good way. In my mind, my identity was this. I was too small. I was a goody two-shoes. I didn't know how to have fun. I wasn't cool, and I was just simply easy to pick on. These were the lies that I was being fed and that I was starting to believe about myself. And then I went on to junior high, and all of the bullying got worse. All of my friends were physically growing, hitting puberty, but I just felt tiny and weak and stuck. And my brother and parents were always there for me, but to encourage me and lift me up, and I'll always be grateful for that. But at the time, it just felt like pity. It felt like they felt bad for me because they loved me and just were trying to cheer me up. And my mindset was, I'm not going to let this discouragement stop me, which is a great mindset to have, but I wasn't rooted in the right things. I was rooted in a desire to impress my friends and to fit in and get recognition from them instead of being rooted in Christ. So my friends started doing football, so I joined football, and I started working really hard at that. I started working out more often. I started cussing more and more, making all kinds of inappropriate jokes, so that just maybe I could get some recognition from my peers. But all of this effort was to no avail, because I was still bullied and I was still left out. But then, in my eighth grade year, just before COVID hit, a friend invited me to a church retreat called Fusion. And I had gone to these kinds of camps before, like Pine Cove, some of you may know, and I couldn't wait to play basketball and gaga ball and football, go on the zip line, play ping pong, you know, all of the fun camp activities that I'm sure we're all familiar with. And plus, I found out that a couple of my friends, who were actually the ones that were bullying me the most, were going, and I was in their cabin. So I was so excited to go and have this fun weekend with my friends, and that's all I thought it was. I thought it was just to go and have fun. But what I found there was something so much bigger. I found myself, and I'm not talking about Zen. I'm talking about the redemption of the heart. At Fusion, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, who led me to experience so much of who He is. And I realized I needed to fully surrender my life to Christ. God chased after me, stopping at nothing, and pulled me out of the situation that I was in. And this is when I found something so much greater than anything the world or the people around me could offer. I found love, and not just any love, but the love of our Heavenly Father. I found the love of a Father who didn't care about what everybody else cared about. I found the love of a Father who didn't care about how small my wrists were. I found the love of a Father who didn't care about how high my voice was, or how good I was at football, or music, or video games, or how funny I was, or how much weight I could lift, or how much I weighed, or if I had a girlfriend. I found the love of a Father who opened His arms to me and embraced me just as I was and loved me like I had never experienced before. He didn't care what I had done or what I hadn't done, or my accomplishments or achievements, or failures or flaws. He didn't care about perfection or performance. But He saw who I was. He saw my heart on the inside, and He showed me what He saw, which was a strong, fearfully, and wonderfully made warrior for the kingdom of Christ, who is made in the image of God. This was my true identity in Christ. And that was when my faith became my own. And this changed my life forever. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here." So through the power of the Holy Spirit and by placing my faith in Christ, I became a new creation. And now I can hardly even recognize what I looked like before. In fact, I probably wouldn't want to be a friend of who I was before now. But all of this took surrender. I had to surrender my life to Christ. I had to surrender my identity to Jesus in order for Him to transform it. But I was so broken and I was so distant from God. I was literally running in the opposite direction of God. So I didn't even know where to start. But I said to God, "There is one thing that's a part of my identity that I know is wrong, and that's cussing." So I started there. And from that day on, I stopped cussing. And cussing has not been a part of my life ever since that very day. And I'm not saying it's just about stopping a bad habit. This is not a gospel of sin management. Christianity is not a list of rights and wrongs. But what I am saying is that it's about surrender. And when you ask God what you need to surrender, He will show you and He will convict your heart and show you what it is that you need to let go in order to be free. And it looks different for everybody. But all I did in that day was take one baby step towards God, and all it was just a small habit. But God used that step and opened up the floodgates and changed everything about me because I simply surrendered one aspect of my life. And now I am the new creation because I started with that one, I took one step towards God. And when I surrendered my identity to Jesus, I didn't feel the need to seek the approval of the bullies or my peers or the world around me. I was a new person, and I wanted to seek God's will for my life above all else. And I want you all to know that at that time, I was heading down a very, very, very dark path, but I'm here now. So it really is never too late, no matter what. And God longs to make all things new with every one of us, and He can show you the person that He sees in you if you open the door when He knocks and let Him in. And then after Fusion, after the camp, I began reading my Bible on my own, going to church, and not just because my parents were dragging me by the ear. I got in a small group. I joined the worship team at multiple churches. I wanted to know so badly more and more about my identity in Christ because God showed me a love that I'd never seen, and I just wanted more of that. And I knew I needed the body of Christ, the church, to help me along the way because I know we aren't meant to do this journey alone. And through my reading of God's word and studying it with others and attending church, I began to see more and more of the truth of who I am in Christ. And the lies that I had been believing about myself were silenced by this truth. And now God's word is full of encouragement and hope. There's so much richness in the Bible, but I want to share with you a few truths that have stuck with me. I'm radically loved. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated His own love towards me in this. While I was a sinner, Christ died for me." While we as a human race on earth were actively betraying God and turning our backs on God, he sent his only son, his only family, to die the most brutal death imaginable for all of us. And for me personally, while I was actively running in the opposite direction from God, he pulled me out of the situation I was in into a life-altering relationship with him. That is radical love. I am entirely forgiven. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. But like Paul talks about, that doesn't mean we can just go around sinning so that grace may increase. But when we mess up, because we all will, we're human, we can come to God with a repentant heart and a genuine heart and be fully forgiven. God forgives us before we even forgive ourselves, and his forgiveness is always available for us if we turn to him in repentance. I am his child and I am valued. 1 John 3:1 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. Y'all, the creator of the universe calls us his children. Let that sink in. The one who placed every star in the sky, giving each one a name, is on our side. The God of the vast oceans calls us his friend. And beyond friends, he calls us his family. I'm a person in process. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this one is huge because I didn't just surrender my life that day in that moment at that camp and then my life was just sunshine and rainbows and perfect and easy. No, it requires daily surrender. Jesus began my faith that day, and Jesus has started the process and continued the process of perfecting it and will perfect my faith until Jesus comes back or until I meet God in heaven. But it does take daily sacrifice for me, giving up something to have everything. And Jesus also tells his disciples in Luke 17:33, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. God rewards our sacrifice by giving us himself. I'm fully known and I'm fully accepted. Psalm 139:1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And Ephesians 1 and 2 tell us that we are accepted into God's family. So why would we even need to seek or even want to seek the approval of the world around us, like those bullies in my life, when we already have the approval of the creator of the universe? What else do we need? I'm protected and I have a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Like I said before, I was in a very, very dark place before I surrendered my life to Christ. I didn't have hope. I was depressed and I didn't see a future. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I felt trapped. I felt stuck. But God pulled me out of that. And now I live with hope and confidence in my future and that God will make my future absolutely wonderful. And God has that hope and confidence readily available for anyone that's willing to accept it. I'm never alone. Joshua 1:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Matthew 28:20 says, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. To the ends of eternity, we are never alone, and God is always with us. No matter what we are going through, whether we're at the lowest of our lows in the darkest valley or the highest of our highs at the brightest mountaintop, he is with us, holding our hand and carrying us through any and every circumstance that we go through. And this one is heavy, but so, so important. I'm worth the death of Jesus Christ. And that's John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And honestly, to me, this verse has been repeated so much in my life that it can be like kind of watered down, and I'm like, oh yeah, John 3:16, whatever. But guys, we are worth so much in God's eyes that he gave up his one son, his only family ever, to be brutally murdered for us. And on top of that, if it were just you, if you were the only one on earth, or if you're the only one on earth that had sin in your heart, God still would have sent Jesus for you. I am worth the death of Jesus Christ. You are worth the death of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple maker. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is a very, very, very important part of my testimony. Did you guys notice that another student invited me to the Fusion Youth Camp? That invitation changed my life. The decision that my friend made to step out in faith and do something as simple as say, hey, Sam, do you want to come to this fun camp with me? Changed my life forever. That is making disciples. And I want to encourage you, if you're out there today or anytime, and you feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit to invite someone that you know from work or school to church or a small group or a youth event or anywhere that the presence of the Lord will be, do it. And don't wait. Like, please listen to the Holy Spirit as he calls us to be disciple makers, because I'm living proof that that changes lives. And it's not hard. It's just all it takes sometimes is a simple invitation. And the list goes on, but take these truths from the Word of God and never forget them. And please dig into yourself to the Word if you want to know more about how God sees you. I believe that we are in a generation where the enemy is challenging us and challenging our identity specifically more than ever through social media and cancel culture and many other ways. He is pushing lies on a generation of youth, on all of us. But the Word of God tells us exactly who we are, and we must remain rooted in that because we won't be able to stand on our own. And God has the final say. He has the final word. It truly has been an amazing journey since that Fusion camp in 2020, but not always an easy one. Every day, I have to surrender to Christ, and every day I have to choose which voice to listen to, his or the world's. And it will always be a choice that we all have to make. And some days that will be harder, and some days it will be easier. And honestly, for me, it's harder more often than it is easier. And most days I'll want to listen to the voice of the enemy, and it'll feel easier and more fun to do that. But also most times, the easy way is not the way to our true identity. In closing, remember how I said this conversation is about roots and wings? There's a sign in my parents' office that says, in this world, we give our children two things. One is roots and the other is wings. I think that God says the same thing to his children, but in a different way. We are rooted by the Holy Spirit, by his word, through his church, through our family and friends. We are rooted in our identity in Christ, but we are also being prepared to fly, being prepared to do the next great thing he has for us. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So as our identities are rooted in Christ, God gives us wings to soar to do bold and courageous things for his kingdom in Jesus' name. He gives us strength as we put our hope in him. And he prepares the way too. God prepares the way for us. We aren't meant to just jump off the tree and flap our wings and hope for the best. God splits the seas before us. He moves the mountains in our way. He shuts the mouths of the lions that are out to cause us harm. And this God we're talking about is the same God that we read about in Scripture. He hasn't changed. He is the same God that parted the sea for Moses, the same God that raised Lazarus from the grave and healed the lepers and freed the captives, and he is here today in this room with us to do all of the same in our lives. Something that I hear Christians often say is, God still does miracles, but they just don't look the same. And they're right. Medicine is a miracle. Caffeine is a miracle. Technology is a miracle. However, God does also do miracles that do look the same today. God still heals, and not just by medicine or technology. He heals miraculously and supernaturally. God still knocks down the Goliaths that are in front of us with a pebble. This is the same God. He has not changed. My point to all of this is that we have access to the same power that we see all throughout the Bible. This same power is the reason that we are ready to soar. By putting our trust in Him and rooting ourselves in His Word, we can tap into that power. God can and will prepare the way before us as we go into whatever it is He has for us, and He will do so in miraculous, supernatural, and spectacular ways. As I step into this next season, I know that I am rooted. I know that I am ready because I am rooted. I'm rooted in my identity in Christ, and I'm ready for what's next in this amazing journey. And church, you are ready. You are ready for what's next. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and by His strength, we are ready. So let's go and make disciples. Let's be who we are in Christ. Let's soar like eagles. And as Mike Gerstenberger would always say, glory to God. So as I wrap up, I want to give you all a chance to respond wherever you are in your spiritual journey. So first, I actually want to give an opportunity to those of you today who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or even if you're unsure if you have. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes so that nobody is looking around, because this decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior should be just between you and God. Now, silently or aloud, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time, I want you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Even when I've ignored you and gone my own way. I believe that you died on the cross for me and rose 3 days later. Forgive me for all of my sins. I invite you and your presence into my life right here and right now. I commit to follow you, Jesus. Lord, help me grow in my faith and trust in you. Amen. Let's give a round of applause for our new Christ followers. It's amazing. Praise God. Now, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, first of all, the heavens are roaring. They're rejoicing in excitement because another soul has been brought into God's eternal goodness. Hallelujah. And secondly, please come to talk to me and Pastor Bill after service. We would love to chat. And now secondly, for those of you who want to rededicate or recommit your life to Christ or just want prayer for anything in general, our prayer team will be near the altars. We have one here at the front or one in the back. So please feel free to come up as we continue worship. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are so good. We love you, Father. I thank you, Father, for pulling me out of the grave that I was in and giving me a new identity. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my experiences with these amazing people. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone in here today struggling with identity, or feel that they have been listening to the lies of the enemy, that you would crush the head of the serpent and show them how you see them in Jesus' name, and that you would show them the radical love that you showed me in Jesus' name. I pray that you would give them the courage to reach out to someone they trust or come talk to me or any pastor after service and allow us to help them with what they're feeling and experiencing, because Lord, your word says that as we confess to our brothers and sisters in Christ, you heal us. Jesus, protect us all and open doors for us to bring glory to your name and spread the love that you have showed us to everyone we encounter, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. And I pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.